Well, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I wrote this devotional yesterday, but I wanted to speak it for two reasons. One, I'm sanguine, so I wanted to hear it out loud. And then I just think it's significant because I just keep listening for how God's defining what's happening. You know, I read the thing that Donna wrote, other people tell me stuff. And I think that's fairly important that we hear, because there's going to be movement, and the repentance is going to get deeper and yield. There's just, again, what we could get away with in the outer court, we're not going to be able to get away with in the holy place. And so silly stuff like griping and complaining and criticizing and all that kind of nonsense, it's just intolerable before the Lord. I'll tell you something he told me a while back. If you want to go where I want to take you, you can't take that with you. And so this is one of the places, this whole little section, where God spoke to me. While the king was at his table, my perfume gave forth its fragrance. And so the more I've pondered all that, and I studied that word table, it just means to surround. And what we saw happen on New Year's Day, on May the 8th, on the 8th of May, on Mother's Day, and you know, the mother in the Song of Solomon is a reference to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit birthed something. And that was almost 7 weeks ago. And he birthed something sovereignly. 1 Timothy 6 says, God alone is sovereign. I'm so grateful. That'll help you in warfare if you stop thinking as if the enemy's sovereign. It's not a fair fight. You with me? And but sovereign God, the king, actually, I love the language. While the king surrounded them, my perfume, or the word spikenard, gave forth its fragrance. And what happened on that day, and what is the reality, not just in this building, but for those who are saying yes, you find that Christ in us is the hope of glory, but there is this thing where that glory is kind of leaked out, and we're walking in an immersion of the glory of God. Certainly it's manifest here. It helps us. It's God's way of sovereignly helping us. But I love what it says is that when the king surrounds us, when the king surrounded me, my spikenard gave forth its fragrance. And if you remember, spikenard is what Mary of Bethany used to anoint the feet of Jesus twice. And then in Mark 14, the third time, she broke it and poured the rest over his head. And that's when Jesus said, she's preparing my body for burial. And so for her, when she first met him, you know, and she was delivered from seven demons, and she fell at his feet in front of all those Pharisees and wiped his feet with tears and anointed his feet with oil. What an extravagant thing, you know? But it was a response to his extravagant presence. I think the king surrounded her with his glory and his affection. His affection is part of his glory. He just surrounded her. And in the process, she worshiped him. But that worship looked like surrender, because at the heart of surrender, at the heart of worship is surrender. A person can raise their hands and hoot and holler and that be praise, but not really be worship. Worship is defined by Romans 12. I urge you, therefore, brethren. When I was in Uganda, I told this story already, but when I was in Uganda speaking at Martyrs Day, there were 2,000 people or more there, and I didn't know 99% of them. And I talked about surrender. I talked about what God was doing here and what God was saying to us, what God was saying to people about a deep surrender. And so there were all these people there that I thought, Lord said, here's a good reference point. Here's a good name drop you can drop. And I said, the great Apostle Paul. The language is, I beg you, therefore, brethren, in light of God's mercies, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, which is your reasonable service of worship. And that's then when I went down the steps. With my mitre on, all my jazz, I got down on my knees in front of those 2,000 people, and I said, I'm begging you, on behalf of Christ, in honor of the Apostle Paul, to present your bodies. And it was what God was doing here, just imparted there, and 2,000 people responded. And the result was effortlessly, we saw people just get healed. And so the king surrounded us with his glory, and in that context, it's like God's wooing us How far do you want to go in this? Do you want to live in the context of a life of encountering his glory as a way of life? And it's interesting that the word king is used. And so really, as simple as it is, this sounds like such a third grade kind of deal. The Lord said, Jesus is just wanting to know, are we prepared to crown him as the king of our hearts? Because if we are, then he's king over every area of our lives, and he's going to point out things that need to be yielded. This one little place, and I won't get into all this, but the very next thing says, my beloved is like a pouch of myrrh resting over my heart. And myrrh is the embalming spice they use to help embalm Jesus' body. It's about the cross. And when you crown Jesus as king of your heart, it's as if the cross rests over your heart. And that's what God's doing in simplicity. A king surrounding us with his glory, wooing us to crown Jesus as king of our hearts. The word, the gospel reading today was significant. That's one of my favorite stories. See, we think often to get God to bless us, we have to become extravagant. It's really important you hear what God's doing. That we think we have to be extravagant towards him to get him to bless us. But that story is actually about God's extravagance. Because the first workers were at 6, and then at 9, and then at 12, and then at 3, and then at 4, and then at 5. And yet the ones who worked for 1 hour got the same wage as those who started at 6 in the morning. And they were offended. And they were thinking they earned. And Jesus, they didn't ever understand that it was all about favor. And the thing is that he was looking for people to bless. That's where we're at. Jesus is extravagantly looking for people to bless. Not for extravagant people so he can bless them. It's the blessing that makes you extravagant. It's the glory that God sovereignly pours out that gives us an opportunity. Wow, I like this. I want to walk in. This is wow. And we surrender, but it's extravagance. That's why it says at the end, they were offended with his generosity or his extravagance. It's grace. It's a grace thing that God's doing. And so you need to understand that God has been hunting you down all day in your spiritual life to pour out his extravagant blessing and favor on you. We can refuse it, or we can surrender to it. Because he wants you. You say, no, God wants to give the whole denarius to the haughty bakers who started in the streets when they were 14, and they've now got like almost 50 years of just doing all this kind of stuff. That's the ones. You know, the one who showed up at 5 o'clock got the whole denarius also. That's why I said Sunday, we have to be careful about spiritual heroes because we, the enemy, can use our thinking about them to make us feel like spiritual zeros. And it's about Jesus. It's about his extravagance. It's about his generosity. And he's looking. He's going out, pursuing. This is what he's doing. He's looking. And he's trying to make it as easy as possible. He fills a room with his glory. He surrounds us with his glory and says, the king says, would you like to crown me as king of your heart and live in this environment, personally, corporately? Wow, that's a generous offer. I mean, you'd think he would come in and go, okay, here's the deal. There's a few of you in here who deserve this, but there are a lot of you who don't. Because there's a bunch of places where you didn't get it right, and you've messed up, and you've been pretty imperfect, and you know, so. I'd like to bless all of you in an extravagant way. I'd like to give the whole denarius to all of you, but all of you haven't earned the place. You go, yeah, but you know, Bishop, I've messed it up pretty bad. I've gotten this wrong, really gotten that wrong. So you're showing up at 5 o'clock. Is that what you're telling me? When you could have showed up at 6 o'clock, why weren't you there at 6 o'clock? He didn't ask that question. That's not the question he's asking. You have to make sure you pray for him for a miracle. Back there, guys, Greg, Stahl, Robin. How do you steward generosity like that? That's the part I haven't quite figured out. Some may say, why does Bishop pray and sing in tongues for so long? If the Lord tells me to get a hula hoop and wear Hawaiian shorts and do the hula hoop until the glory fills the room, we're doing the hula hoop. Now, I'm hoping that doesn't happen. All right. It would be an it'd be something for the Sursum Corridor for sure. So anyway, I just wanted to speak that word about just more about what God's doing. And it's all about His extravagance. And no matter where you've been, no matter what you think you've done to unearn it, that you're not postured for it, He's postured for it. That's the point. When Jesus went ascended, He said, when I go to the Father, I'll pour out the Spirit. He didn't say, if I go to the Father and then you get your act together, I'm going to pour out the Spirit. He postured Himself. He's postured. Amen? Okay, I don't know what kind of sermon that is, but it's the truth about what God's doing. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.